DSA, which I'm actually a founding member, was the result of a merger of two other political organizations back in 1982. So we're a national organization. We're committed to democratic socialism. We have chapters throughout the country, mostly on the East Coast, West Coast, but some new chapters in the center of the country and in the South. We do work, both electoral and grassroots work. We do workshops on the economy, and we also take not just class seriously. We take gender and ethnic and sexual orientation and equality seriously. We think these are all part of the structure of power in our society.
Well, clarify exactly what democratic socialism is.
Well, at the core of democratic socialism is the idea that we have to extend democratic decision-making, that is, decision-making by all of us, into the economy. You know, we have at least nominally a democratic political structure, but when you walk into the door of that workplace, whether it be an office, a factory, a retail store, what have you, you are under the autocratic, the dictatorial control of someone else. And that means you spend a good portion of your lives in a non-democratic institution. And we believe that's not good both for individuals. We need to believe it's not good for society. So that's the core of what we mean by democratic socialism. We can elaborate on that a lot, but that's the first thing to keep in mind. By the way, I should also say to your listeners is that we have a youth group called Young Democratic Socialists. So one of the nice, exciting things, actually, about being in DSA nowadays is that we have a lot of young people come into the organization, which I think probably reflects to some extent the experience people have had in this century around the financial panic and the Great Recession and the questions of the failure of this economy to generate jobs, all of those kinds of things.
Do you find that members of the Democratic Socialists of America are coming from other political parties, particularly the two-party system, where so many people seem to be disillusioned with what's happening politically? Are you finding that people are coming to DSA from other political backgrounds?
Yeah, we get two or three different groups of people to join. Some people join because this is their first political act. They've been thinking about the society in which they find themselves, and they see a lot of things that they don't like about it: inequality, economic inequality, gender inequality. They see destruction of the environment, and they're looking for an organization that ties them together. So it's one group we get are people whom are just becoming to think of their lives in political terms. Another group we get, as I think you're pointing to, is people who have worked in usually the Democratic Party and are disillusioned by the rise of what we call neoliberalism, sort of the corporate wing of the Democratic Party, and want something more, want something that goes beyond that, and want something that has a criticism or critique of the two dominant parties. And then we also do get some people who have been active in other political groups in the past and are looking for a group that stresses democracy and socialism at the same time. So we get these sort of three streams of people coming into the organization.
Well, this evening in Denver, you're going to be giving a presentation and a discussion on the curse of inequality. And the session begins with an inequality walk. What exactly is that?
Well, it's a short visual demonstration of how unequal we've become. And what we do is we look at the top 1% of the population and other groups in the population at two points in time, in the late 1970s and today, and we mark out each step being $10,000 worth of income, and we look to see how close people were together 35 years ago. And then today, when that top 1% has to walk to their income level, they always have to walk out of the room. Usually they have to walk down the hall. Often they have to walk down the street just to represent how much inequality there actually is. And that drives a point home. We all know there's growth in inequality. It's not that this is a shock to people, but it drives a point home about how much there is. And it also makes the point that if you really are in that top 1%, you live lives that are extremely different, that are insulated in a bubble away from the rest of us.